Good morning. A warm welcome to everyone in the sanctuary this morning, and a warm welcome to everyone watching online today or later in the week. I would also like to extend a warm welcome back to the Reverend Ken Russell, who will be conducting the service today. Ken, we're delighted to have you back with us this morning. Some intimations for your attention. Mr. McIntyre is conducting the communion service in Allen Church in his capacity as interim moderator. There will be a further time of fellowship in the parish halls following the service. Please come along for a cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit. And the good news is that Thelma's jam is now available to purchase today. Self-denial envelopes for Lent are in both vestibules of the church. The Kirk session will meet in the parish halls on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. The second in a series of Lent studies will be held in the Church of the Holy Rood on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Subsequent studies will be held on Wednesday, 26 March, and Tuesday, the 1st of April. We are using the New Light Journeying Through Lent booklet. Copies of these will be available on Wednesday. A quiz night organised by the local branch of the Scottish Bible Society will be held in the Park Church Hall on Saturday, 22nd March at 7:15 p.m. You can see the poster in the vestibule for further information. The stated annual meeting of the congregation will be held following the service next Sunday. An Easter holiday club for primary school children will be held in the parish halls in the morning of Wednesday the 9th, Thursday the 10th and Friday the 11th of April from 10 a.m. to 12:30. Registration forms are now available in the vestibule or can be obtained from Gary via the email on the intimation sheet. Finally, there is a box for used stamps in the vestibule. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Les, for your welcome. As always, it's a pleasure to be back with you here at St. Ninian's Old Parish. The daffodils have started to appear. There have been days when it really has felt like spring, and there is a bit of a sense of newness and freshness all around. Let's begin our service by singing hymn 173, Sing to God New Songs of Worship.
Thank you.
Let's open our hearts to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving and almighty God, you have given us life with all of its blessings. We thank you now for bringing us to this place of worship, fellowship, and learning. We ask that you would inspire and help and encourage us to listen with our hearts for the word that you want to speak to each of us. O God, our Father, you call us your children, and it is your desire that we serve you and serve others in this world which you have made. You call us to be salt of the earth, to be light in the darkness, to be yeast which causes the dough to rise. You call us, Lord, to make a difference in this world for the better. And yet, Lord, we sometimes find ourselves detached from the best that we know. Sometimes we have focused so much of our attention on our own concerns that we've neglected the welfare of our community. Lord, we're sorry. Help us to notice the pain and the struggle of others. We sometimes have seen our own hardships much more readily than we have felt the vast suffering around us in the world. Lord, we're sorry. Help us to notice the pain and the struggle of others. And Lord, we know that sometimes we select those to whom we're going to speak and those whom we'll ignore, forgetting that your love reaches out to all people and that your love calls us to also reach out to all people. Lord, we're sorry. Help us to notice others and notice any pain and struggle they are having. Lord, there are other failings that also prevent us from making the difference in the world that you call us to do. And in a moment of quietness, we name them before you. Loving God, we are sorry. Forgive us and lead us forward, we pray. Inspire and encourage us to better serve you and to serve our fellow men and women who are all around us. We ask you to hear, Lord, these prayers that we have silently prayed in the privacy of our own hearts, and we ask you to hear us as we now join together as church family in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Television and radio adverts, sometimes they can be some of the very best examples of broadcasting in a short space of time. There's some that aren't so good, but we probably all have one or two adverts, that, even from a while ago, that we remember. One that I remember on the radio hearing quite a lot was, I can't even remember what it was about, but I remember the funny bit. You'd hear the phone ringing, and then somebody would answer it. It would be answered by the IT or the computer department at somebody's work. IT support, how can I help you? Oh, good morning, thank you. There's a message on my computer screen and it says, to continue, press any key. Yeah, that's fine, so just press any key. Yeah, but where is it? I can see the control key and I can see the shift key and I can see the caps lock key, but I can't see the any key. It means just that any of the keys on the keyboard will do. Just press any one of them. Oh, so I just press any key. Some of us are not so good with devices, are we? In that ad, it took a bit of time and patience from the IT man, but eventually the caller got it. The penny dropped. He saw the light. In the sermon, a little bit later on today, we'll be hearing about a man who struggled when he was chatting with Jesus to get what Jesus was saying. Now, here's a question. As you know, when I come here, all age talk is everybody talks. So in a moment, we're going to chat to each other, and I would invite us, please, to make sure nobody's on their own, and we have a wee chat for a few minutes. So have you ever, here's the question to discuss, have you ever puzzled over something and thought, I don't get that? Ah, then the penny dropped. What do you call it? Do you say, I saw it, I got it, the light dawned? Has that happened to you? Have a wee chat about that, please. And if you're at home, chat to those who are with you, or if on your own, have a wee think about it. And I forgot to bring, you know, when I come and do this, I usually bring my little bell to ring us, but I forgot to bring that, so I'll just give you a call back to order. So have a wee chat about any time you've got it. On you go. Okay, folks, in the absence of the bell to ring, if I can gather us together. Oh! Well done. Was that magic? Has somebody got it? We'll have a wee prayer. If I say a few say a few words, would you say it back after me? You do that? Dear God, please help us when we just don't get it. Please help us to keep trying. And when other people don't get it, or get what we are saying, please help us to be patient. Amen. Hymn 727, In the Bulb There Is a Flower, 727.
Thank you. The first reading this morning is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 5, and can be found on page 231 of the Pew Bible. Revelation chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had vanished, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, now Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready like a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice proclaiming from the throne, "Now God has his dwelling with mankind. He will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be an end to death and to mourning and crying and pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "I am making all things new." "Write this down," he said, "for these words are trustworthy and true." The second reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and can be found on page 80 in the Pew Bible. John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. One of the Pharisees, called Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish council, came to Jesus by night. "Rabbi," he said, "we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform these signs of yours unless God were with him." Jesus answered, "In very truth, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he has been born again." "But how can someone be born when he is old?" asked Nicodemus. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "In very truth, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born from water and spirit. Flesh can give birth only to flesh. It is spirit that gives birth to spirit. You ought not to be astonished when I say you must all be born again. The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born from the Spirit." "How is this possible?" asked Nicodemus. "You are a teacher of Israel and ignorant of such things," said Jesus. "In very truth I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, and yet you reject our testimony. If you do not believe me, when I talk to you about earthly things, how are you to believe I should talk about the things of heaven?" Amen.
Thank you. Spring, two readings about new life. We continue with another hymn which speaks about new beginnings. Hymn 526, "This is a Day of New Beginnings," and we're singing it to the well-known tune, St. Clement, and we're singing the first four verses. 526.
Thank you.
Our reading this morning from John's Gospel brings us to the story of Nicodemus, who, as we know and remember from our Sunday school days, came to see Jesus at night. But who was Nicodemus? Well, he was a Pharisee, and he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. Pharisees. Who were Pharisees? Pharisees were a group of influential Jews who were particularly strict in their observance of religious laws. They studied the laws and they interpreted the laws, and they were particularly concerned about holding to the many ritual purity laws and also the minute details of observing the Sabbath, what you could and most importantly what you could not do on the Sabbath. Jesus was much more relaxed about these laws. And so often in the Gospels, when we find encounters between Jesus and some Pharisees, there is conflict. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, but he went to see Jesus. Nicodemus was also a wealthy man. He was a man of some standing in Jerusalem, and he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. The Jewish ruling council was called the Sanhedrin. So maybe we're already getting a clue as to why Nicodemus went to see Jesus at night. We'll come back to that in a second. This encounter takes place in Jerusalem, the capital city, and it takes place at Passover time. Now, Passover time in Jerusalem in the time of Jesus was chaotic. It was maybe a bit like the centre of Edinburgh when it's festival time, and especially when it's fringe time. And you know what the fringe is like. The place is absolutely hoaching. The fringe always attracts a range of performers, some established, well-established people, some exciting new talent, and some pretty weird and bizarre performances as well, doesn't it? And Passover time also attracted its fair share of religious enthusiasts, some bordering on the fanatical. Many of them would be harmless enough, you know, give them a bit of space and it's fine. And the Roman authorities and the temple police, they've done it quite a while now. They know the drill. Happens every year. And once you've got the hang of running these big events, you can spot the real troublemakers and keep an eye on them. But this year there's an unknown quantity in town, a wandering preacher from Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. Now in Matthew, Mark and Luke, in their Gospels, they only give us the last time that Jesus was in the Passover. Jesus was in Jerusalem for one Passover in each of these three Gospels during the final week of his life. But in John's Gospel, John actually presents three visits, three separate years, to Jerusalem. And today, this reading, we're at the first of the visits of Jesus to Jerusalem during Passover. So although Jesus is as yet a bit of an unknown quantity, he's not necessarily yet seen as the threat that he will be when he comes riding in on a donkey on Palm Sunday for his third and final Passover. So he doesn't have the bad reputation, the troublesome reputation that he'll have when he finally comes in, but he's unknown. He's still one to watch. And those in authority will want to get him pigeonholed as soon as possible. Is he just a hair shirt brigade holy man, hair shirt and ashes? Or is he a political activist and therefore very dangerous? Is he just a wee bit way out? Or is he a threat? What's he about? He seems to have done some healings, and the powers that be want some intel, some information on his Jesus. And Nicodemus wants to know about Jesus, but it doesn't seem that he wants to get him labelled, get him categorised. Nicodemus seems to go with an open mind. Now let's pause there. It's so easy, isn't it, to jump to conclusions about folk. How many times do we reject
or condemn somebody or something without really having a conversation with them? Where might we, even in the last couple of weeks or so, have rejected or condemned or dismissed someone, perhaps more from prejudice than from any real substance? Just a thought. But Nicodemus goes to see Jesus, and he goes at night, because with the uncertainty about him and him being a man of some standing, that's probably very cautious, very discreet, probably very wise. And I think we can identify with his prudence. Maybe he's thinking, I'm interested in this guy, but I might not like what I find, and he might be as bad as some of my colleagues think. And if I'm seen talking to him, showing an interest, then that might be seen as me approving of him, an endorsement of him. And you do have to be careful, don't you? He's saying. On the other hand, says Nicodemus, I'm drawn to him. There's something about the way this Jesus goes about things that impresses me. He seems to have an authority, and it's not just an overinflated self-confidence. So a discreet, private appointment is what Nicodemus seeks. And we see him at night approaching Jesus and doing it respectfully. Rabbi, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher. We know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God. Did you catch that? We know. Who's we? Has Nicodemus been getting the feeling from one or two others of his colleagues? There could be something in this, Jesus. We know you're a teacher who's come from God. We see the signs. There's interest from Nicodemus. There's curiosity. And he's gone asking. He's not only been open and fair-minded, he is actively seeking. Jesus recognizes that. Jesus recognizes that Nicodemus is looking for something, and Jesus cuts to the chase. He gets to the point. To enter the kingdom, says Jesus, you need to be born again. Jesus is speaking in symbols, metaphors. He's speaking metaphorically. But Nicodemus takes it literally. Jesus is speaking metaphorically. Nicodemus takes it literally. How, Nicodemus asks, how can a man enter again his mother's womb when he's old and grown? Jesus answers, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. The phrase, born again, that's what I meant, he didn't get it. The penny didn't drop. The phrase, born again, was a problem for Nicodemus because he literally thought about his mother's womb. That doesn't make sense. Born again is a phrase that we hear a fair bit about, and it can be a problem for many of us because of the way that the phrase has been taken and used today, as in born again Christian. In a way, used in a way that seems to describe only a certain number of Christians. So let's try and get a handle on what Jesus might have meant by born again, and let's see how we can relate to that now. And as a way into what Jesus meant, we can readily recognize experiences which make us feel renewed. A holiday. You got your holidays planned? Are you counting the weeks? A holiday is perhaps the most obvious example. On holiday, we can let go of our normal responsibilities, our normal routine. We rest, or we do whatever we enjoy doing on our holidays. And if we feel, if not brand new, when we come back, we do feel something like that, don't we? We can feel renewed. Actually, when you come down to it, even something as ordinary as a really good night's sleep can make us feel renewed, can't it? So renewal of ourselves, re-energizing, renewal, that's something that we can readily make sense of. And then, taking it a wee bit further, there can be times in our life, haven't there, when we've been introduced to experiences which have opened up a new dimension for us. It might be that we had a particular interest or hobby or enthusiasm or pursuit, that we did it on our own. But then we met with others who shared that interest and that enthusiasm, and we joined a club or an association, or we met with them and we shared hints and tips, and we realized, goodness, there's so much more to this than we'd ever known, and so much is now open to us. It might be that we met somebody who thought the same way as we did and were able to have conversations about certain topics and life opened up. Or it might be that some study or training opened up a whole new world for us. So we can readily understand not only being renewed, we can understand that a new world in some way can be opened up. We wouldn't necessarily, again, describe these things as being born again, but it would be reasonable to describe them as times when we began to live a certain part of our life more fully. A certain part of us came alive in a fresh, new way. And we also recognize there's a dimension of life which is often referred to as the spiritual. And it really is there. There's all the physical and day-to-day things that we have to do, but there is the world of emotion and there is the world of the spiritual. Part of being fully alive as a human being is about being open to that dimension of life as well. During the 7 years that I worked as full-time chaplain in a prison, on a Sunday morning when some of the guys came down for a church service, who came for a variety of reasons, some of them came for a church service, others came to meet people, and so on and so on and so on. But I used to begin the service by saying to them, to be honest, there's bits of my life that I really like, and there's bits of my life, well, I'm still a work in progress, and there's bits of my life I wish were a bit different. I'm a work in progress. There's something in me that nudges me forward. And I would say to them, I guess for you as well, there's bits of your life that you feel okay about, and there's bits you don't. You wish they were different, and there's something nudging you forward. Now, I might be very comfortable saying I'm nudged forward by the Spirit of God. You might say, I'm not sure if I'd call it that. Many of them were into AA recovery, Alcoholics Anonymous, and drug recovery, where they talk a lot about the higher power. So you might be comfortable talking about a higher power. Or you might talk about the universe. Many people today talk about the universe. The universe wants me to do it, or the universe was saying something to me. I would even say to them, if you're a Star Wars fan, you might talk about the Force. You might even say, you know, I'm not sure about all that. I think it's just the best part of myself. What I would then say to them is, do you know what? I'm not really worried what you call it, but I would really invite you guys, that's what I said to them, I really invite you to respect that something that's nudging you forward. Call it what you will, describe it what you will, but that is the energy, the power, the life that will carry and nudge you forward. Part of being fully alive as a human being is about being open to that dimension of our life as well. And it's about understanding that dimension and taking care of that dimension, just as we need to do, take care of our bodies. Jesus said that we need to get alive to that part that continually renews us, takes us forward. We need to be born, as it were, into that part as well. We need to be born into that, not just physically, but spiritually. As I say, Nicodemus was a learned man, but he needed to yield to the yearning within. Maybe he'd already begun to, without knowing it, by seeking out Jesus, and to open up more fully to the spiritual dimension. Some people can tell you that they had lived a life where they totally ignored their spiritual nature, where they had nothing to do with God, and they did some bad stuff, and then something happened and they changed, and they had an experience of opening up to God, taking Jesus on board, taking Jesus into their life, and they used the phrase born again to describe that experience. That makes sense. I met guys in the jail who had that experience. The problem for us arises when our experience of the life of Christian faith doesn't feel as anything like as dramatic as that. And we feel, oh, if we've maybe grown up within a Christian family and had the blessing and benefit of being taught from an early years, of going to church and absorbing the life of faith around us, that's my story. We find it impossible to point to a moment when our spiritual nature suddenly came alive, because it kind of gradually grew, developed as we grew. And one of the problems with that is it can make us feel inadequate. I remember the first time I heard dramatic stories of conversion. Gosh, I don't have anything like that to tell. There are people whose life has a dramatic turnaround, and thank goodness, thank God that happens. But we must also thank God for our parents, or the Boys' Brigade, or those folk in the church and the Sunday school, and whoever exerted a good influence on us, and through whose good example we've been fortunate enough to come to faith through a more gentle route. So we shouldn't feel inadequate or allow ourselves to be made to feel inadequate, but equally, we recognise folk for whom it's a sudden turnaround, and that's okay. So that's one thing. The other thing, another extreme to avoid, is one that says, I don't need any of that spiritual stuff. What's that all about? That's too airy-fairy. I mean, I go to church, I do that kind of thing, but I don't, all the spirit stuff. What happens is that the spiritual dimension of our being can be like a plant that we forget to water. You ever done that? Forget to water the plant? And what happens to the plant? When the heat comes, it shrivels up. There's no point in being opened into our spiritual nature and then starving it. The spiritual dimension of our nature is real. Our spiritual dimension is as close as the air that we breathe. It's very interesting that in a lot of practices like yoga and relaxation and so on, a lot of, and meditative prayer, a lot of attention is paid to the breath. Jesus said in that passage we heard, the wind blows where it will. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So said Jesus, it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. The words in both the Old Testament and the New Testament for spirit, ruach and pneuma in Hebrew and Greek, are to do with wind, breath. So breath, wind is ethereal. You can't catch it, but it's essential. So it is with the life of the Spirit. So we came in with Nicodemus. We applauded his caution. And with Nicodemus, we hear Jesus saying that the spiritual is real, and we're invited to be alive to it. We don't know what Nicodemus said as the interview ended, but we do know, just to finish, two more things about him. We know that he stood up for Jesus openly against the Pharisees. In John chapter 7, we hear the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked, why didn't you bring Jesus in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards declared. You mean he deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted. Has any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed him? No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, they do. There's a curse on them. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, the Pharisees, asked the other Pharisees, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he's doing? And they replied, are you from Galilee too? So he stood up for Jesus openly against the Pharisees, and we also know what he did after the crucifixion in John 19. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus, and with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, £75. Both these things took courage. The cautious, respectable Nicodemus was given inner strength to do what was right. On Sunday, we come again to meet with Jesus. We bring to him the yearnings in our inner being. We allow him to speak, to get right to the heart of the matter, and to speak the words in our heart that we need to hear. Amen. A hymn which takes the birth analogy as part of its inspiration. Hymn 118, Womb of Life and Source of Being. 118. Let us pray. In our prayers, we're going to begin by reflecting on the passage that we've been looking at. So let's picture Jerusalem, the dark streets of Jerusalem. The city has been busy with pilgrims visiting for the Passover festival and with Roman soldiers keeping a watchful eye. But it's all quiet now. Let's picture Nicodemus. Now, he doesn't want to be seen. He wants to keep his visit to Jesus private. So let's just keep back a bit, keep our distance. As he takes a final look around before entering the house where Jesus is staying, we draw back behind another door. And there we are going to wait for the time it takes for them to talk. Waiting, but let's use that time to gather our own thoughts. What might I want or need to say to Jesus? Gather your thoughts just now, just in case Jesus is able to see you too. There's a soft murmur of voices. Jesus and Nicodemus are at the door of the house. They part. Nicodemus moves down the street, slightly less furtive and secretive now than when he was going in. So quickly you take your chance and you move quietly forward. But Jesus knows you were coming. And he greets you at the door. Come in, he says. Sit down. What is it? He asks. So tell him. Tell him now. And as you tell Jesus, notice any response from him, perhaps a word, perhaps a look, perhaps a gesture, or perhaps a thought or a feeling that arises within yourself as you talk to Jesus. And as your conversation with Jesus draws towards a close, what will you take away from that conversation with him? And now let's leave that house, walk along the streets of Jerusalem. Let's come back here to St. Ninian's old parish, knowing that at any time in our own prayers we can return to that conversation with Jesus. But let's for now come back to St. Ninian's old parish. And as we have moved from the ancient city of Jerusalem at Passover time, full of passion and tension, let's bring our prayers for cities of our world, Kyiv, Washington, Moscow, attempts at peacemaking, and the chaos, and the struggles, and the mixed emotions. Let's bring our prayers for all the strife and all that's going on. God of love, hear our prayers. Let's pray for all who hold positions of responsibility, politicians, leaders. Let's pray that they might be moved to listen for what is best and fairest, that they might work for peace and justice for all. God of love, hear our prayers. Let's pray for our churches. Let's pray for the Church of Scotland in these challenging times. Let's pray for the congregation here, St. Ninian's Old Parish, and let's give thanks and pray for Minister Gary. Let's ask God's blessing on him. God of love, hear our prayers. Let's pray for those who are sad at the loss of a loved one, whether that loss was recent or some time ago. Loving God, hear our prayers. Let's pray for those who are ill, those who are caring for them, those who are worried. Loving God, hear our prayers. Let's pray for those who, for whatever reason, are very much on our hearts and minds right now. Loving God, hear our prayers. Let's take a moment to pray for ourselves, for whatever is going on in our lives right now, for what we will do in the rest of this day or the week that lies ahead, or whatever. Let's pray for ourselves. Loving God, hear our prayers. And we now dedicate our offerings. Loving God, faithful giver of life, you've given us many blessings. In the life, death, and teaching of your Son Jesus, you welcome us into your heart. Help us to open our heart to others, that we may be ever more willing to offer our hospitality, our support, and our material resources wherever they are needed. And as we bring these offerings, so we also offer ourselves, our time, and our abilities. Take and use, we pray, all that we offer for your purposes in our church, in our parish and community, and beyond. Hear these and hear all our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is 622. We sing A Love That Sets All People Free. 622. Thank you. Now go out into the world, all of which is the garden of the Lord. Go and work to bring forth new life. Dream dreams, pursue visions, speak of God's love for all people, and speak in the words of those who would hear. And as you go, may the God who breathed life into all creation be your inspiration. May Jesus be your example and give you hope. And may the Holy Spirit strengthen you in all you do and set your hearts ablaze with a passion for peace. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord today, tomorrow, and every tomorrow, forevermore.